Thank you, Danny. Good morning. Welcome to Christian Life Church. Like many people in this difficult time of coronavirus, of lockdown, you're wondering and you're asking questions like, where is God in all this? What is God doing? What is God saying? And by that introduction, you might think that I'm going to actually now answer those questions, but I'm not actually that clever. I don't know the answer. Maybe in a few months, we'll look back and we'll say, oh yeah, we can see what God was doing. But at the moment, we don't know all the story, but we get glimpses of that give us hints of what God might be doing. For instance, a worship song has gone viral on YouTube and had, as I was researching this, 2.3 million hits. That's the UK blessing. Isn't it great that a worship song has gone viral on YouTube? It seems like God is doing something. Tear Fund have done a survey recently that showed that 24% of people in UK have connected into an online service in the last few weeks. Normally, attendance in church is about 5%, but it's been up to 24% that have connected in. In that, in the age group 18 to 35, the percentage has been higher, and that's an age group that is often not going to church. It seems like God is doing something. More people than ever are signing up to Alpha courses. I heard Tim Hughes from his church in Birmingham saying they're starting Alpha courses one or two every week at the moment. So people are hungry to find out more about God. And it seems like God is doing something. We don't see the full picture, but God is doing something. And if you're one of those people that today are coming in, you don't normally go to church, but you just looking in online, maybe you ought to ask the question, is this coincidence? Or maybe God has directed me here and you're here for a purpose that God is working in your circumstances. But it seems that God is doing something. And I mention this because I think this is what I'm going to preach today and what we've been preaching recently is relevant to what the times we're in. And I'll explain that in a moment. We've been preaching in the Bible book of Acts in the New Testament. Acts is about the birth of the church and the spread and growth of the gospel of Jesus Christ right at the beginning of the church. Today I'm going to be preaching from the second part of chapter 11 and chapter 12. And in there, there's like three separate stories. And there's two themes that I want to pick out there that are themes right the way through Acts. and one is that the church and Christians are being persecuted. So Christians were imprisoned, they had property confiscated, and in some cases they were executed for their faith. That's the backdrop of the whole of the New Testament. So that's one theme. And the second theme, that in that difficult situation, that difficult time to start church, God moved very, very powerfully. And so in this country, we're in a difficult time. This is not a persecution against the church. Coronavirus and lockdown is a difficult time for everybody, but it's not ideal time for church. But God is moving very, very powerfully. And maybe we get a few hints like I've mentioned. So I'm going to read now from Acts and I'm going to read first the first story, starting in chapter 11, verse 19. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Gentiles just means people who weren't Jews, just to explain. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. During this time, some prophets travelled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to their brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. They did this, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So in this passage, we see that a church was started in Antioch, and that this was started not by some missionary plan by one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, but it was started by ordinary believers who were running away, running for their lives from persecution. But they still, in their difficult times, preached the message, the good news of Jesus. Last week, when Danny preached, he talked about the story of Peter and how God showed him a very powerful vision. And then when Peter was preaching to some non-Jews, the Holy Spirit came on those non-Jews. And this convinced Peter, through these two quite miraculous, spectacular happenings, that Peter should now preach the message of Jesus to non-Jews as well as Jews. But in the story I've read today, the ordinary believers didn't need those big interventions by God. They just got on and preached the gospel to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. It was just ordinary believers, not the apostles, one of the 12 apostles. And the book, this book we're doing, the Acts, is traditionally known as the Acts of the Apostles. That's not what it was originally called. And really, you can see as you read it, it's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not just through the apostles, but through all believers. So my first point that I want to draw out of this is that in difficult times, the power of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated through ordinary Christians preaching the gospel. I'll say that again. In difficult times, the power of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated through ordinary Christians preaching the gospel of Jesus. So I believe in this difficult time of coronavirus, there's going to be a number of heroes that arise that we didn't expect. A number of people that say, oh, this is their time. For instance, you'll see on the news that Captain Tom Moore decided to walk around his garden a while and see if he could raise £1,000 for the NHS. I think when I looked last, he had raised £28 million for the NHS. An unexpected hero. He didn't expect it. And, you know, who knows what God will do with the little that you do to serve him. And I think it's time for the ordinary Christian. So you may have been not known well in the church. You may not have done a lot, but it can be your time to shine. I think there's a time for unexpected heroes. And you don't necessarily need, like Peter, to have an angel visit you or an amazing vision. It might be just something you feel in your heart should do, and God can use that. And who knows what God will do with that. It might be just a little whisper in your heart, but go with it. And hopefully we as leaders in the church might catch up with you like they did in the New Testament. But you don't need to wait for permission from leaders to preach the gospel. They didn't in this story. Even in their difficulty, they preached the gospel, and God, it says that God was with them. The power of God was with them. So that's the first point. And the second point I want to say is, in difficult times, the power of the Holy Spirit was demonstrated through acts of practical generosity. So as we read there, the church in Antioch raised an offering for the church in Jerusalem to help them because of a famine. So let's not think that our faithful giving to people in need is less important than doing miracles. It's not. Last week, in the story, an angel appeared to a guy named Cornelius, and he said to Cornelius, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." His gifts to the poor have gone up to God as an offering, and God had seen that. Generosity is a sign of the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when they were persecuted, and I guess these Christians, like all the Christians in Acts, were persecuted. Maybe they didn't have a lot because of that, but they gave what they have. Maybe in your situation, you haven't got a lot, but be generous with what you've got. And it's great to see so many people being generous with their time, with their help, with their practical help, with neighbours, and even offerings. And God sees that. And I want to say, well done. Keep doing that. Okay, we're going to read on in the story. So it carries on to say, about that time, King Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on his side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everybody, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had let him out of prison. "Tell James and the other apostles what happened," he said, and then he went to another place. The third point I want to make is the power in difficult times, the power of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated through dramatic answers to prayer. God answers prayer. Now, I don't want to say that an undramatic answer to prayer is less important than a dramatic answer. Sometimes an answer might be quite undramatic. You might be in need and somebody gives you a gift of what you need. It might seem quite normal. There's no angel, there's no vision, no miracle, just an answer through a generous person. That's just as important as a miraculous answer to prayer. But sometimes God demonstrates his power by an outstandingly miraculous answer, like in this case, that the chains fell off, the prison gates miraculously opened, an angel appeared, and Peter was freed. In this difficult time, we need to persevere in prayer and not give up. I just sensed recently that we need to be pushing into prayer, maybe for situations that haven't changed for a long time, maybe a healing that you've been praying for many years, maybe family members or friends that you've been praying that would come to Christ for many years. Let's press into prayer for them because God answers prayer. Let's see God break in this difficult situation. I'm going to continue to complete the story. The last bit's a bit of a weird story. It says, Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. My fourth point is, in difficult times, the power of the Holy Spirit was demonstrated through sovereign acts of God. I don't know whether people were praying for this to happen. I can't imagine they would pray specifically for worms to eat him and died. I think it's interesting to see that he was consumed with worms and died, rather than he died and then was consumed with worms. It sounds pretty horrible. But God demonstrated that he can take a wicked ruler out anytime he likes. I'm not saying that he always does that, and he could do it in any way. He could have done it through an election, through an illness, but a very spectacular, an angel came and struck him down with an illness. And you can only say, that was God. People could only say, that was God. So just to recap, in difficult times, God's Holy Spirit comes and helps us in many ways, but four I've just spoken today. Firstly, through ordinary Christians preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Secondly, through what was the second one? I've forgotten. Oh, through generous giving to practical needs. So let's be generous. Thirdly, through spectacular answers to prayer. And fourthly, sometimes through God sovereignly intervening. So as I conclude, what I want to say is, let's do that. Let us follow that voice of God. We don't have to be leaders. We don't have to be apostles. We don't have to think we're very special. We are special because we follow God and obey him. Let's follow the voice of God, whether it's an angel speaking or a little gentle whisper. Let's follow the voice of God and see what God will do. It's time for each one of you to follow your way and see what God will do. Secondly, be generous. Be generous with your time, your gifts, your money. Let's give those to God and see what he will do with them. And thirdly, pray big. Let's believe God for massive answers to prayer, because he is a massive God. God can sweep away the coronavirus in an instant. Let's believe for healing. Let's believe for salvation. Let's believe that God is doing something great in this land. We've seen little signs. Let's pray like anything, like never before, that God moves in this land. But maybe you've never even made the decision to follow God yet. You're not a Christian. You've just tuned in. Maybe today is the time where you need to say, God, I want to follow you. I'm going to close now in prayer. And firstly, I want to pray a prayer that just to say, God, I haven't been following you. Now I want to follow you. And if that's you and you want to follow Jesus for the first time today, for the rest of your life, then just say this in your heart. And then I'm going to close and pray for all of us. Father, I just want to confess that I have not followed you in my life, but I thank you that you sent Jesus to make a way back to God. I want to commit my life now to follow you in the best way I can, with your help, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to pray for all those who are watching now and listening live or later. Father, pray in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, in our difficult times, you come in and help us to be the people of God in acts of service, in acts of miracles, in prayer, in preaching the gospel, that we say that in this difficult time, your kingdom went further. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Goodbye.